And we are back on the Majority Report. My name is Janine Garofalo. I'm here with Sam Cedar. And in studio, we are joined by investigative journalist Daniel Hopsicker. His new book is Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida. And he's the publisher of the Mad Cow Morning News at www.madcowprod.com. Now, Daniel, this book, Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida, is so full. Like, there's a lot of us in it that are, I guess, participants in the 9/11 truth movement, if you will. We really want to know who knew what, when, why, where, all of this. But even this book has stuff like, oh, I never thought of that. That never occurred to me. Or I've never heard that before, even from people who devote a great deal of time, like Sander Hicks, your friend of mine, to learning about these things.
I had just finished a book on the biggest drug smuggler in American history, who also was a CIA agent and a pilot, and so I had a little bit of expertise in aviation crime. So I went to Venice, Florida, to take a look around to see what I could find out, whether the government story made sense, and the government story doesn't make sense. And the FBI, I discovered, has been lying to us. Venice, Florida, where three of the four terrorist pilots learned to fly, is the biggest September 11th crime scene that wasn't reduced to rubble. But when I went down there, I wasn't bumping into Bob Woodward and Sam Donaldson, you know, or crawling across, you know, investigative journalists to get to the bar at the Crow's Nest. The only, you know, there was nobody there. I was there. And when you read the book, you'll find out why I'm the only one that was there.
Now, let me, just one question about Venice. What is the population of, is there a big Arab population in Venice?
No, it's 10,000 Midwestern retirees. Like my mom and dad.
So why did they lie about this?
Well, one of the reasons came out 3 days after September 11th, on September 15th, when Newsweek, the Washington Post, and the Miami Herald all reported that six of the 19 terrorists had attended military training at secure U.S. military facilities, that Mohammed Atta had attended a National Officer School at Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. You aren't aware of that, are you?
No,
I'm
almost apoplectic when I heard that.
let me tell you why you aren't aware of that. The reason you aren't aware of that is because the story was a one-day story, and then it died. The next day, the Pentagon issued a denial, which said that some of the biographical data doesn't match, some of the ages don't match, and so these aren't the same people. Well, that's not the case. Okay, four of the 19 terrorists on their driver's license listed an address on the Pensacola Naval Air Station.
That's quite a coincidence.
Exactly.
And so, what are the implications of this? I mean, where is this lead?
Well, the FBI said 1 week after September 11th that they knew the terrorists were training on the flight schools in the U.S., but they never said why they didn't do anything about it. And now I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to tell you why in one simple sentence, okay? The same month that Mohammed Atta arrived in the U.S. to begin flight training at Huffman Aviation in Venice, Florida, along with the other Hamburg cadre principals, the owner of the flight school had his Learjet confiscated on the runway at Orlando Executive Airport with 43 pounds of heroin on board.
And on that note, we're going to take a break, and then we're coming back, and you're going to keep on talking. You're going to keep on talking, my friend. We are here with investigative journalist Daniel Hopsicker. His new book is Welcome to Terrorland, Mohammed Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida, and he's the publisher of Mad Cow Morning News at www.madcowprod.com. You're listening to the Majority Report. Sam Cedar over there looking at me with his jaw agape.
Yes, I am. Air America Radio. The flight school in Florida, where supposedly a couple of the terrorists were trained,
yeah,
His personal jet was confiscated with pounds and pounds and pounds of...
43 pounds. That's what's known in the drug trade as heavyweight.
That's a mother load. and
of heroin.
On the day... What day was it?
In July. In July, the same month Mohammed Atta ostensibly arrived, although Atta had been in this country for years. Let's take the official story just briefly, okay? And it's amazing how little of it is true and how no one has questioned it. Certainly no journalists have questioned it, okay? No journalists at all. The official story is that Mohammed Atta arrived June 3rd, the year 2000, and yet people that rented cars to him said he sounded as if he had been in this country for a long time. He'd been in and out. They said Muhammad had arrived to go to flight school, learn to fly, become a pilot. Well, when he arrived here, he had pilot's licenses from five or six different countries, according to his girlfriend, his American girlfriend. They said that Muhammad Atta and his confreres were Islamic fundamentalists. Well, Muhammad Atta lived for 2.5 months with a pink-haired stripper, did cocaine regularly, drank heavily every night. So, here's the story. In 1998 and early 99, if you went to Southwest Florida, there might have been one or two Arab flight students in Southwest Florida. Beginning late 99, in the year 2000, there were hundreds, and in 2001 there was more than 1,000. Okay, Southwest Florida was flooded with Arab flight students. Let's talk about the guy that told us what happened. The official story, if you remember, okay, was given to us by a Dutch guy named Rudy Dekkers, who was all over television in the days after the attack. He went on every TV show there was. He was on Larry King Live. He was on Dan Rather. He was on Peter Jennings. He was on Tom Brokaw. Rudy Dekkers is an international criminal, wanted in his native Holland. He can't go back there without being put in jail, and yet not one journalist did due diligence. And he was lying. Rudy Dekkers was lying, and the reason he was lying...
What did he claim?
Tons of things. He claimed he didn't know Muhammad Atta. Well, he had lunch with Muhammad Atta a week before the attack.
Why was he on these shows?
Because he was establishing the official story.
Okay.
And it was being, according to a flight student and also an executive at Huffman Aviation, he was being coached on what to say by the FBI. The FBI, for example, was outside. They were at the flight school in the middle of the night, okay? But they were actually outside executives' homes 4 hours after the attack. The flight school owner's Learjet, confiscated with 43 pounds of heroin on board, was being flown by a man whose day job is as chief pilot for Venezuela's Air Force One. The co-pilot on the plane, whose name was not mentioned in any court transcript, there's a reason for that, was a DEA agent from Guyana. And it was flying a weekly run, by the way, 30 trips down and back to Venezuela before they got caught. And when they did get caught, it was by mistake.
Now, why would they, if they're going to Venezuela, now, what was the idea? Give us a little bit of an overview now. What was the plan?
Let's talk an overview, okay? Let's talk Afghanistan, all right? Let's talk what the government's told us that maybe might halfway be true, okay? Afghanistan produces over half of the world's heroin. Two-thirds now, but over half of the world's heroin in the year 2000. Well, Osama bin Laden was reputed to have run Afghanistan, so Osama bin Laden was the heroin king. Now, the Taliban put out a press release that said they were going to stop growing opium. Well, you can believe the Taliban's press releases. Why would you believe Mullah Omar any more than you believe George W. Bush? In fact, the UN and Amnesty International said then in the year 2000, when they were supposedly stopping growing opium, opium cultivation increased by 50%. Because Osama bin Laden headed the world's first Islamic drug cartel. And someone in the U.S. government before September 11th, on September 10th, for example, was doing business with him. And the deal, according to federal prosecutors in New Jersey, the typical deal is oil and heroin for guns and training. Guns and training. Well, they were teaching people to learn to fly. That's training. Now, let me ask you, have you ever heard of an organization in this country that both runs drugs and trains terrorists?
The CIA?
And the evidence will show that the 19 Arab hijackers on those planes flew those planes, okay? There are some people, see, there are only two groups of people that don't seem to really want to know the truth about 9/11, and one group is certainly George W. Bush, and the administration has done everything they could to keep any truth from slipping out. And the other group, strangely enough, is composed of people who believe that if you say the word Arab in the same sentence as the word hijacker, that's racial profiling, which is ridiculous.
And then there are people in the Project for the New American Century who would say, you know, it would be good for us, a new Pearl Harbor.
You know, you're exactly right, and there are a lot of, and certainly the government's behavior after September 11th would seem to indicate, certainly Iraq would seem to indicate that you know, that they used it for advantage.
All right, well, let me ask you a question. Okay, so we've established that there's some type of drug connection involving these hijackers. Why did they fly these planes into the Twin Towers?
Muhammad Atta hated us.
And so let me just catch us up to speed, because we got to go shortly. But basically, what you're saying is that you have proof, or at least a lot of evidence, that there was a drug running operation by the CIA that was using a lot of former Arab citizens, I guess, or Arabs, to fly these drugs ostensibly to different parts of the world. Did they know they were going on a suicide mission?
Let me tell you what I know about Muhammad Atta, and that'll answer it, but maybe you don't have enough time before we break.
Well, we got to take the break shortly, so give us the 60-second.
Muhammad Atta was a psychopath. Muhammad Atta hated us, and Muhammad Atta was a psychopath. Now, if all you need is an Arab patsy, okay, to sit on a plane, okay, and control it by remote control, you don't have to go to the trouble of finding a psychopath that tears kittens' legs off. Muhammad Atta was a psychopath. I know Muhammad Atta hated us, and I'm absolutely certain that he was flying that plane.
It's also conceivable that when that there were other pilots who were sent in, and maybe Atta didn't realize.
You know what? I need to say this.
Okay.
So I need to say this. In a situation where our own government has given us so little information, it is incumbent on us to act responsibly. Okay?
Right.
I mean, the spiders from Mars could have pushed a button and the World Trade Center flute fell down,
right.
But I don't think that's what happened. And I think all of this hooey, about missiles hitting the Pentagon and missiles coming out from under the wings of airplanes is designed to prevent us from doing what any homicide investigation would do, which is to investigate the perps or the alleged perps and their associates and find out what was really going on.
I agree. Scott Ritter would say that all the time. This is a crime. Investigate the criminals who perpetrated the crime. We have been talking to Daniel Hopsicker, the author of Welcome to Terrorland, Muhammad Atta and the 9/11 Cover-Up in Florida, available on Mad Cow Press.
And there's a link on MajorityReportRadio.com right now. Go buy the book. Read the book. Your jaw will be dropping around your waistline.